各位大话开源的听众大家好，大话开源第一季就要接近尾声了，非常感谢大家的关注与收听。第二季的内容正在紧锣密鼓的筹备中，并将会紧接着第一季推出，也请大家继续关注。如果你有任何问题和建议都别忘了告诉我们，当然最重要的别忘了加入听友群哦。 Open Techer
嗨，大家好，欢迎收听本期的大话开源，我是主持人明爱。这是一档由 Open Taker 发起的访谈节目，旨在沉淀开源人的所思所行，力求摸索出有趣、有料、有品的开源武林秘籍。每一期对话，我们会邀请身经百战的开源老兵或冉冉升起的开源之星，来分享他们的前沿洞察、防坑指南以及鲜为人知的走心故事。在这里，不管您是开源发烧友，还是门外驻足观望的好奇宝宝，都可以汲取与开源相关的更多心法与招数。还在等什么？一起来听听今天的江湖对谈吧。
Hi all and welcome to OSSP, Open Source Software Pioneers, 大话开源。 Today we have a very special episode. Yes, like what you are hearing now, it's in English. And this is the season finale. 大话开源 season 1 is coming into an end. And it's for sure season 2 is on the way right after it. So let's try something new in this season finale.I'm your new host, David, and we are trying to use different language to meet the new way. But most importantly, we have a great guest today. He is Howard Huang, Huang Zhipeng. He is the man behind an open source project called MindSpore, who is playing a key role as a supervisor in the operation. Okay, without further ado, let's hear him. Hey, Howard, would you say hello to our listeners?Please tell us who you are and what do you do.
Hi, I'm Zhipeng, goes by Howard in open source community. I'm currently the community manager for MindSpore, which is a new open source deep learning framework project. We're really proud of our work. Other than that, I have been in open source for almost 8 years. So I've been involved in various open source communities like OpenStack,Kubernetes, Cloud Native Foundation, etc. So I'm also serving as the technical advisory committee member for LFAI and Data Foundation, and also the Confidential Computing Consortium.
All right. Obviously, Howard has a long time and rich experience in many open source projects and scenarios. I guess some people might have heard about MindSpore, some might not. So could you please feed us a bit more about this project?
Okay, so MindSpore, what we call is a all-scenario AI computing framework. I think people are already familiar with deep learning frameworks like TensorFlow, PyTorch, MXNet. MindSpore is just a new addition to that flock. What differs MindSpore, though, is we really emphasize on how deep learning combined with scientific computing, which is also a big trend for all the deep learning frameworks at the moment. I can give you an example. Google Brain has recently working on a new deep learning framework called JAX, which basically is what we call NumPy on steroid. It's NumPy on GPU and TPU support.But it's really great for scientists to combine the power of deep learning with their specific field of work. We also see open source projects like Julia, which has been a traditional, more numeric computing side of things. Now we found it also a good candidate for deep learning. So the field is moving towards a trend of how AI and scientific computing can merge or can combine to help with all the research that's going on. So MindSpore is designed to help accelerate the whole field toward that goal. So for MindSpore, it has a great, what we call the automatic parallelism support, which means compared to your usual distributed cluster, distributed training. Typically, you have to know a lot of information of your distributed cluster like what type of the node you have for each cluster, how many accelerator card you are using, what are the bandwidth. The reason why data scientist has to learn all that engineering knowledge is that when you training a deep learning model on a distributed cluster, basically you have to know how to cut it, shard it into different nodes to run it efficiently. So it has been a huge burden for a long time. So for MindSpore, we provide a automatically generated policy. So we search a best fit policy for the data scientist. So if you're using MindSpore, the only thing you need to put as an input is how many, say, ascend card you are actually using. It's just that number. You don't have to know any of the underlying details of your cluster. So this is a big plus. And also, MindSpore provide an array of feature support for example, what we call the deep probabilistic programming features, which is also widely used in scientific computing communities. So MindSpore as a new addition to the deep learning frameworks, I think it brings its own really great feature. And by running it as an open source community, we are looking for more and more developers to join us and to further develop it to have more like exciting features.
Interesting. An open source deep learning framework, that's what MindSpore is. So, do we have any user case we can share with our listeners?
There are a lot of use cases. I think I can name some really interesting ones. So, one of them is a startup, actually, from China. It's also a great open source startup. It's called Jina AI. Jina.ai, Dr. Xiaohan. So what they're offering is the neural search. For example, you take a picture of some dress you found in a store, right? You don't know how to find it later on, and you can search it using Jina. So Jina is kind of a front-end search engine that can utilize MindSpore's capabilities. The search picture with picture is a already done use case. There are a couple more, like search music with a music piece. You got some melody, you may come up, you don't know which song it is. You can do that with Jina and MindSpore. Another one is actually understanding of legal texts with the help of AI. So in Shenzhen, the weathers are like 10-year-old children, right? The mood, it has been consistently changing, especially when we hit the summer. You got the monsoons or the rains constantly. So one of the challenges they have is to be able to forecast the weather in a short time. So what MindSpore or the model based on MindSpore actually help with them is that we can actually building a model that could forecast the weather in a really short time. So given like 1 hour or 2 hour ahead of warning, and the accuracy is pretty good. So I think that's one of the really interesting use case that impact people's day-to-day life. Yeah.
Great. I love your input here. Open source has already blended in our day-to-day life. It's so true, and it's happening. That Jina AI, as I knew, they are aiming for next generation of search engine, and the neural search is gonna beat keyword search definitely in near future. So, the open source community, I'd like to ask, since you have rich experience of so many projects, from the perspective of a project developer, how do you see the community difference between China and the overseas?
I think one of them is actually use cases. So in open source community, we value use case very much. But use case is actually more often than not the pain point for a lot of open source projects, because typically you have great developers, but at the end of the day, you have to have people using your project, right? They benefit from that, and you got feedback from those people who are using it, and then you improved on it. If you just develop, that's going nowhere. So one of the big input from the developer community from China is actually the use case. Because one interesting phenomenon in China is that it's not only programmers in enterprises embraces open source now. There's a lot of people in what we call the customer side, user side, are actually getting more and more familiar with open source, and they are demanding either the product that they will purchase or the technology they will use are open source. And especially in the recent decade, you see a lot of, for example, in OpenStack, during the recent summit, almost like 90% of the big scale use cases are coming from China. People cannot imagine their open source project could be applied or used in such scale. For example, our high-speed rail are using open source project. It's unimaginable before for traditional Western developers, right? It's like billions of people are using their software day on a daily basis. It's really impressive. So that's one great use case from China. I think the second one is actually what we call the intelligence pool, because we have so many great developers and we have like a pool of intelligent people working on this field. It sort of become a engine for a lot of open source projects. I think that's vital, especially for open source project, because one of the other pain points other than lack of use case is lack of maintainers for open source project. You often see, well, open source project doesn't die, but it just painfully drag on. We often saw that happen all the time. But in the last decade, you have this amount of Chinese developers joining a variety of open source project. These actually bring like fresh blood and fresh energy and a lot of like a new imperative into those open source communities or projects, giving them like new life. I think that's another really great input from developer society in China. Yeah, it's valuable.
Yeah, I totally agree. China has the population, the booming market, which consisted by so many different types of business and complete supply chain. Just as you mentioned, it's an ideal market or test field for various business scenarios. Now let's rewind to the original topic of open source. What does open source mean to you? You know, some people think open source is a philosophy. Someone think it's a breakthrough of the software industry. So what do you think?
I agree that open source reflect a way of thinking, a philosophy. What I want to emphasize, and also I have been talking about this, like in reflecting our line of work, is that open source is not only philosophy. What we do all day is called community operation. I think still very few people got the importance or the hardship of actually doing the community operation. Like many people just simplify it as a cheap marketing. You know, you have really good looking girls and boys do a lot of promotion. And there's another extreme side of it is for a lot of great developers, they think we don't need that, right? We are the star. We develop the project, for God's sake. But what we are keep doing, and people are seeing results and effect, is that community operation is a serious line of work, and it actually brings the open source down to earth. So, for example, we are running a lot of developer activities. It's not just meetups. For example, we use TikTok, well, the China Douyin. We use TikTok for developers' presentation. I think it's the first time that people are actually drawing mathematical formulas on the blackboard in their home and getting streaming on Douyin or on TikTok. We also design a lot of what we call the MindCon. It's our like a plugfest, but it's we add a lot of more content to it. And we will release like promotional videos for every MindSport new releases. And people don't actually quite understand is every video we actually made the content based upon the features we released in that cycle. and we abstract layers up and making a video that most people could understand what you're doing. So we actually start a open source project back in March this year to open source the community operation, our line of work, also open source. That's what I believe. So every work in open source should be open source. So we are sharing like how we build the WeChat public account, you know, the articles. We have certain format requirement so that people read it. It's a great experience of reading it. Like I said, we generate a lot of video content and we organize a lot of really new kind of developer activities. So we also open source it. We want to share it with like-minded people. So for us, open source is not only a philosophy, it's day-to-day work.
Well, I have to say your idea about using multi-format, like more videos instead of articles, multi-channel, like the trendy TikTok Douyin for promotion, is quite a move. And telling your story by your star, the developers themselves, that's brilliant. Therefore, as we can see, there is a lot of collaboration and cooperations involved in here. And the output is impressive and fantastic from Mindspore, I would say. So, based on your findings, do you have any tips from previous co-ops?
I think there are two aspects I want to emphasize. The one is open governance. Again, not many people realize the governance is critical for an open source project. For example, for all the popular deep learning frameworks, well, they are all company sponsored, right? TensorFlow is sponsored by Google, PyTorch is by Facebook. MXNet is probably the only one that donated to an open source foundation, Apache. However, when we start the open source community for Mindspore, day one, we build a lean but complete open governance model. I think that's a first. In all the deep learning framework communities, we have a technical steering committee composed of 14 members with Huawei just got one representative. So 14 members span across the globe. We have almost one third of our members are professors from Europe. We also have member from Seattle. We got member from startups in China. So it's a great composition. And we have been running that what we call the TSC monthly meeting. It's a public available meeting and we upload the recording every time. There are many times Chinese developers ask us, why you are uploading that kind of video into a Bilibili site? We don't want to see that. But I reply them, it's important as due process. All the discussions are public and the recordings will be made public. And you can see from month to month to month how Mindspore evolved, right? We bring every release plan to the technical steering committee to tell them this is a plan we're going to do. Do you have any suggestions or feedbacks or something you think not really feasible for this cycle? Then we probably delay to the next release. It's open discussion. I think the open governance is really important for a wider participation because people see that is okay. It's not just someone I don't know high up in the company calls a shot, right? I can see there's a technical steering committee. I can even argue in the meeting, although I'm not a member because the meeting is public, right? I can get a Zoom number on the mailing list. We have a public mailing list. Everything is free and open. So people are not hesitant to join Mindspore. So I think open governance is a great aspect of things people can do to increase the participation. Another thing actually is diversity, which is oversimplified in China, I think, at the moment. The problem of diversity certainly has some political correctness in them. Funny thing is that people like us, so we have working group or special interest group chair titles in Kubernetes. We actually have to got a training for diversity training, even though it's not a company. So naturally, folks in China, we joke about it a lot, right? Sometimes you just don't do the work. You don't admit people based upon their merit, start based upon either the gender, right? However, I don't think people realize why diversity is valued at almost every mainstream open source project, the practical side of it. I can give you one example. If you participate in some crypto community, you can see many of the high-skilled developers are either like transgender people or, you know, people don't realize that high-functioning people are coming from those small societal groups because those groups are typically facing greater social pressure. And in turn, they generate many, many like people with great capabilities. And the open source community usually are one of the few places that accessing them, you know, valuing their work. So diversity is not just like mouthpiece. You know, you say it, you feel right, or political correctness. If your open source project doesn't value diversity, I can say it for sure, you cannot attract any really high-skilled developers. Because I can tell for sure, no one that brilliant could be understood by you, by your traditional mind. So it's not only just political correctness or we care about that people. Even from pure business, you know, code, practical evaluation, diversity is important for an open source community. So that's two like suggestions I can make.
您现在收听的是大话开源访谈节目，欢迎关注、留言并分享给身边的小伙伴哦。添加小助手微信 OpenTacker007 即刻加入听友群，快来遇见更多同道中人。 So from your opinions, why is open source community is quite important in China?
I think even based upon my personal experience with participating all this what we call the upstream open source communities, you can see the Chinese developer are always a big portion of the developer system in any given open source community. So that's why I think the open source atmosphere and also the open source communities in China really needs to be further nurtured so that it could actually flourish. We strongly believe that Chinese developer has great, great potential to build like really important and has great impact open source project like that. So at the moment, developers from China are almost like contributors. We participate and contribute in certain open source projects. But I think from the time moving on, we will see more and more original, really great open source project emerge from the Chinese developers. And we will have great open source project that originate from China and has a global participant.
All right. Nowadays, it seems open source projects are open source related topics are getting more and more hot in another community, the investment community. We know that Mindspore is currently supported by Huawei. So based on your long time experience, do you have any advice for other projects who are trying to attract investors?
For other projects, I would suggest to be able to tell a bigger story. Right. In the West, we usually heard a saying, see the big picture. It's easy to say. It's easier to say than done, really. I think one thing the Chinese open source community lacks is being able to build a topic. It's not only build a topic. It's the ability. It's like what we made for our videos. You have to build it from ground up. You have to first develop the code. First, you have a design, a philosophy with that design. What you want to tell the world you're going to do, not just something some people tells you to do, right? And then you develop initial code for that and abstract layers up. And then all the way up that you can have one sentence, just one sentence to describe your project. That one sentence can be understood from a lot of people that maybe are not in your field. So that would be the one suggestion I would give to any Chinese startup that want to have a great business model with open source, is that try to tell a bigger story. Try to tell a story that affect the whole ecosystem, but not an empty argument, right? People understand it in a superficial way, right? Okay, tell a big, sorry, okay, I can tell it like 贾跃亭, right? It's not the same. Concrete example is Kubernetes, right? It has concrete code, and the storytelling from the Cloud Native Foundation is phenomenal. The ability to tell that actually build an industry didn't exist before, right? The whole Cloud Native ecosystem wasn't there. They make a whole ecosystem existing. And that's the kind of capability that the Chinese open source community needs.
Okay, big picture and big story. Investors love that. Well, I think the reason why investors love your project is not only they see your brilliant ecosystem, but also I'd say the real key is how you make money with your project, right? So let's talk about that, shall we, Howard? How do you see the monetize in the field of open source?
Well, it's a great question. It's the most difficult question for anyone who works in the field of open source. Well, typically you have several ways. The most dominating way is what we call the Red Hat way. Is you provide your product based on a open source project, but you build your customer for your service. Another trend emerging recently, especially from big data open source world, is the open core model, which I'm personally ideologically very against, but it's in reality, it's a big part of the business model for open source now. So for open core, it means you actually doesn't open up all of your code. You hold up the core function of your code closed, and you bill your customer for that part of functionality. I think these are the two most popular way of generating revenue from a open source project if your company are building it on. And so I think there's another one just recently emerging. It's like, especially in China, a lot of the big companies are begin to invest in open source. So this new kind of model is that we still build the customer for the either the product or the service, like hardware or cloud service we provide, but we provide this like reference framework based upon all the open source project either we build from our company or we participate already either. So I think that's a really interesting trend. So you'll see like more and more big guns out and building this really high quality open source project. And how's that going to emerge in the future? That's very exciting to see. Yeah.
Great. Let's talk a bit about Howard yourself. Could we start from your morning routine?
My morning routine is really a routine. So typically I will check the YC news and my Twitter feed. That's how I start my days of work, because they're two like really important source of information for me to get a grab on how world is moving on. My thinking is always that for any open source to be successful, you have to understand the technology itself. Open source is kind of this encompassing, you know, atmosphere, but you gotta have a core. That core is the specific technology. It's either cloud computing, deep learning, computational computing, all the hypes you have, or more forward-looking like the genetic editing, CRISPR, you know, all that stuff. So I always compel myself to study the current trend of technology. I think that's the core. And then you build an open source project around it.
Is there any person that inspired you a lot in the past or currently, like a mentor or something? What did you learn from him or her? What kind of guidance that impact you a lot?
There's a early open source software-defined network project called Open Daylight. It's one of the earlier like enterprise level open source project hosted by Linux Foundation. There's a project under Open Daylight called OVSDB. It's just to provide the database implementation for the Open vSwitch, which is another great open source. I'm a great friend of the founder. That's the first open source project I got involved in. I have no idea. I was still a grad student at the time. I have no idea what an open source project is, you know, how you do that. Basically, the two lead guys, Madhu and Brent Salisbury, I think they set a great like role model for me. The OVSDB meeting, they kept, first of all, a weekly meeting. You know, it just runs uninterrupted. And it's the first time I realized that people in US are not lazy. Engineers in Silicon Valley are hardworking. Sometime, at that time, I still have my school project. Like, I have to run simulations. Sometimes I have to get really late. 2 a.m, someone in Asia asks a question. Madhu basically pops up and reply. That's my like first lesson. It's like, this is how you run an open source project. Keep hardworking and keep all the routines on, you know, weekly meetings, keep the openness, recording the meeting, no matter what, even if it's just chit-chat, record it, upload to YouTube or whatever streaming site you are using. Be nice. They are just friendly. I'm a like moron in that project because I don't have any knowledge on database at that time. And my major is in networking protocols. So I just ask moronic questions. You know, nobody got mad with me. They just really patiently reply. You know, you can check it out here. You know, if you found like the document is still too difficult to understand, you know, submit the issue, maybe we wrote it wrong, you know. That affects me a big deal. So from day one, this is how I knew what, well, not only open source, this is the only thing I knew about development. So that's why later in life, when I in the company, you know, every company has its own like culture of engineering. I'm still holding on to what I learned in open source. How you simply think, how you write a commit message. You have to write it right, not just a blank commit message. See, I have a new commit. Nobody gonna review that. So that project, the OVSDB project. In Open Data, I think that set up a role model for me.
Howard, I know you do a lot of reading. Is there any book that you recommend for our listeners?
The one I recently read and found it really like give me a shock is Leela, called Leela. The author, I think everyone knows the author because the previous book is From Motorcycle to Zen. Everyone knows that book. It's, the author is Robert Persig. But few people know the second book, Leela. So in the Zen book, Robert Persig proposed the idea of quality or the theory of quality or value. But he didn't actually theorize it. Well, he didn't really want to. That's kind of the whole purpose of the book, right? But I think decades after that, his friends or foes from philosophy or academic field asking, right, you sort of have to give a quantitative and qualitative description of what your theory is, which comes the book of Leela. So he laying the more specific theoretical groundwork for the theory of quality or value. It's really like shocks me that much is like provide a theoretical base for many of my experience of open source communities. I just kind of put it like he put it. Yeah, I think that's a book I would recommend everyone to read. Leela, check out that book. It's mind opening.
How do you see yourself in next 10 years?
Well, my organization gonna still keep alive. It's just one hardcore company, and I think the project, like MindSpore project will, in 10 years will definitely be like part of the, either the big three or big two of deep learning frameworks, because the reason I just mentioned. So, I don't think there's any doubt in it. And, for other project, I think it just, so based on the open source nature, it will still, exists, but I cannot say for sure after a decade if many of the projects I was involved with are still like blossoming.
Okay, like what we discussed right before the show, that MindSpore is looking for more team members while the project is keep growing with astonishing achievements. So, Howard, what kind of team members you're looking for? What kind of personal traits that works fine with open source?
I think people in open source has sort of quality. I think folks in corporate generally believe anything can be trained, right? You just taught people, write up a course, taught people. Now gradually I start to believe that open source could not be taught unless you are certain kind of people has trait like kindness, loving to help, commitment, hard work, determination. When I'm looking for like a new addition of team members, I'm looking for all those qualities. So if you are a good engineer, but you are satisfied with the banal day-to-day work, you're probably not a good fit for open source. You need to self-driven.
Kindness, love to help, commitment, hard work, self-driven. Well, these are more important than your engineering skills. Well put, Howard. Okay, right before wrapping up this episode, do you have anything else for our listeners?
Okay, MindSpore's code are public and open on both GitHub and Giti, so you can basically access it anywhere in the world. And by the way, we design a lot of bot to make that happen. It's not an easy work. To keep sync up of two major repos. And we have our WeChat public account. You can follow that. We have our Douyin account, TikTok account called MindSpore Tidu Senlinhui. We have our Bilibili site. We put a lot of the materials on Bilibili. We have a lot of WeChat groups, QQ groups, and we have Slack channel. If you are overseas, not in China, you can join Slack. Probably I'm looking forward to start something on Discord, hopefully. And you can find us anywhere. And please join us.
Great. Thank you so much, Howard, for your share today. It's quite mind-opening, informative, and I think it's definitely benefit myself and our listeners about how we see and work with open source in different aspects. Especially, I love the part you emphasize the importance of community. I think we all should keep it in mind. Well, this is OSSP, Open Source Software Pioneers Season 1 Finale. Thanks again for tuning in. Guys, don't forget to leave your likes and comments and join our WeChat group. So that's all for today. See you soon in upcoming season. Cheers!
本期的大话开源就到这里了。如果喜欢本节目，欢迎转发给身边的朋友。我们也期待您在节目后的精彩留言。同时，也邀请您加入我们的听友群。入群只需添加小助手的微信号 OpenTacker007， 备注开源，就能和更多小伙伴切磋武艺了。也欢迎大家关注 OpenTacker 开源星系的微信公众号和视频号，解锁更多精彩内容。感谢大家的收听，我们下期再见。